This is the Texas Standard. I'm Joy Diaz in for David Brown. One of the blessings of being the state with the longest border with Mexico is that Texas is constantly on the news. I guess it's a bit of a blessing and a curse. 2019 was no exception. The happenings at the U.S.-Mexico border topped the news, in part because of that promise President Trump made to have a border wall. But the issue of the boundary between the U.S. and Mexico and the issue of building on the border is hardly a new phenomenon. C.J. Alvarez explores 150 years of history along the border. His new book, Borderland, Border Water, takes a look at barriers, surveillance, and river engineering projects. C.J. Alvarez is also Assistant Professor of Mexican-American and Latino-Latina Studies at the University of Texas at Austin. C.J., thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
Let's look at why 150 years. I mean, obviously, both countries are older than that. So why 150 years? Why start during this time period?
Well, you know, there's two answers to that question. One of the most common responses I get from people when I tell them I write about the border and I write about building projects on the borders, they say, oh, that's such a relevant topic. But I grew up down by the border, and for us, it's always been a relevant topic, like notwithstanding the current political climate. And the second answer to your question is I'm a historian. And so from my point of view, whenever I look out into the world and try to understand political or social or cultural or environmental developments, I look to the past to try to understand what the genealogy, what the lineage is that brought us to the point that we're at today.
Absolutely.
And so from my point of view, I had to go back to when the U.S.-Mexico border was first demarcated, starting in 1848, and then continually became the site of more and more construction over the course of 150 years.
Mm-hmm. One of the focus of your book is the Mexican Revolution, and it's such an interesting period. I mean, for some people, they may remember that the battles were filmed from one side of the border to the next. What interested you about the Mexican Revolution during, you know, with this focus of construction on the border?
Well, I mean, as you well know, the Mexican Revolution is fascinating. And on the border, what's so fascinating about it is that because so many Americans were so heavily invested in mining, agriculture, ranching, these sorts of like capital intensive industries in Mexico, they were very worried that they might lose their properties. And so the U.S. government sent at its peak in 1917, 160,000 soldiers to the border. So we often think about the borders being militarized today. That's a common
like a new thing.
Here. Yeah. But in fact, the moment when the border was most militarized was actually during the Mexican Revolution.
Wow.
And part of what that meant in the context of building, the building project then was not fences. It was not dams or big mega projects like we see in later in the 20th century, but it was actually roads.
Right.
Which seems like not a very, you know, dramatic thing, but that's actually one of the most important kinds of building projects on the U.S.-Mexico region.
One of the most fascinating photos that you have in the book is precisely focused on these remote areas, how it required a lot to put a marker that this is where the border goes, and they're climbing this super steep mountain, I guess.
Yeah, in Arizona.
Unbelievable.
Arizona and Sonora. Yeah.
Unbelievable. So what has been built along the border?
Earlier fencing projects, watchtowers that the Border Patrol used before they developed high-tech cameras and radar and that sort of thing. Just as interestingly, just as importantly, lots and lots of hydraulic engineering.
Absolutely.
Projects.
We have a lot of dams built around the
exactly. The and Texans understand that, especially the Texans who live around the border with our sister states of Chihuahua, Coahuila, Nuevo León, Tamaulipas, right. Understand that really well, of just how difficult it is to both manage an international border and an international border that happens to be a river.
Right. The resources that are there. Yeah. Yeah. So one for us who are in Texas, but of course you didn't write the book for Texans. You wrote the book for anyone who is interested in learning more about this border. And one of the things that I thought was fascinating is that you mentioned that, you know, the majority of people in the United States are participating in this debate about the border when it's a place that they don't know, they've never been here. Why did you think it was important to talk about that?
Well, I think that so many times today, when people talk about the border, they're not really talking about places along the international divide. They're talking about immigration policy and immigration enforcement policy.
I see.
And that's a very important conversation that we desperately need to have and that we desperately need to address and confront in all of its aspects. But for those of us like myself who actually grew up and have been in the border region for generations, what I tried to do was remind people and capture the fact that even though the border is a site of international migration, long-distance migration, both authorized and unauthorized, it's still a place where, like, border people live. And that each one of the different places along this 2,000-mile border are actually quite distinct environmentally. They're quite distinct culturally in many ways. And one of the ways to get at that is to look at building projects, because the building projects are so customized to the specific region of the international divide.
What did you find, for instance?
Well, I think that one of the most extreme modifications on the entire international border is between El Paso, Texas, and Ciudad Juarez, Chihuahua. And the reason I say it's extreme is not because of the fence, although there is one of the there is a very large barrier infrastructure there,
right,
since 2006.
Brown metallic structures.
Yeah, exactly, that weathering steel. And of course now they put concertina wire on top and that sort of thing. But before that fence was built, the most dramatic modification of the landscape there was actually in the riverbed, because that's the point when the land border in the western states becomes the river border,
right,
in Texas. And not only does it become a river border, but that river is a desert river. And rivers in the desert tend to move their channels.
That is so fascinating, yeah.
And so basically you think about it as like—
Because it's alive.
Yeah, it's alive and not so well anymore, but it was once alive and well. And if you think about it from that perspective, you couldn't choose a worse
border.
Yeah, exactly, than a movable river to be an international border that's, of course, borders are supposed to hold still. And so if you go to El Paso Juarez today, what you will see is that the river channel has been encased in concrete.
Right.
Which is about the most dramatic thing you can do to a watershed, other than building big storage dams, of which we have two,
right,
between Texas and Mexico.
CJ Alvarez is the author of Borderland, Border Water, A History of Construction on the U.S.-Mexico Divide. CJ, thank you so much.
My pleasure.